Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 36. For several weeks, we have been speaking about the subject of the Holy Spirit. We've looked at some of his names and some of the terms that refer to him. We looked at to whom is the Holy Spirit given. We also saw some other things about the Holy Spirit and things that the Bible has to say to us that I believe God wants us to know and to learn so that we can get to know him better. We were interrupted by the resurrection last Sunday, and I say that as best as I can. I hate to refer to it as interrupted, but our study had to pause while we talked about the resurrection. And then today we pick up our study again, and I'm not exactly sure how many more Sundays we'll be in this line of subject of the Holy Spirit, but it'll be a couple more anyway. One thing I do know, the message today is a two-part message, so we've got this Sunday and next Sunday, and then I have another one following that that I think will be at least two parts, still working on that. But today we're going to start this message that I've entitled, Types and Illustrations of the Holy Spirit. We already saw that he was a person. We already saw that he was God. Again, we saw some of his names and titles and things like that. Today we're going to start this message, which deals with types and illustrations of the Holy Spirit. I really debated about the title, but there are word pictures that are given to us in the Bible that speak about the Holy Spirit of God and how he works and how he helps us and how he's with us and never leaves us and those kinds of things. So I hope that this will be an interesting two-part message for all of us as we think about types and illustrations of the Holy Spirit. Again, this is part number one. We'll give part number two next Sunday, Lord willing. Luke chapter 24, verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. Here, before I read any further, let me just explain that this is after the resurrection. There's two men that are walking on the road to Emmaus, and all of a sudden Jesus appears right with them and starts talking with them. So again, at verse 36, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and arise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. So, I apologize. The part that I was explaining was before this. I was waiting again for these two men. But I should have started earlier reading, I suppose, in verse 13. But anyway, you get the idea. This is after the resurrection. There's two men walking in the road to Emmaus. He speaks to them, and he talks with them. And then the passage that I just read for you, he's talking with his disciples, and of course they ate together and such. And then he goes out to the Mount of Ascension, and he ascends up into heaven. And he tells them something very important. In verse number 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. We'll talk about that word endued in just a minute. I want you to know that in the Word of God, and we'll look at several passages today, so be ready for that, there are these word pictures that are used to describe something special about the Holy Spirit of God. And God wants us to know that, and God wants us to understand that, because it's very important as it relates to you and I, number one, knowing Him, but number two, enjoying Him. Pastor Weiss, are you saying to me that I can actually enjoy the Holy Spirit of God in my life? And I would say to you quickly, you're getting it. You can enjoy the Spirit of God in your life. In fact, He is, as we've said several times in the study that we've been doing, He came to live inside of you once you got saved. He'll never, ever leave. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, the Bible says. He's there to guide you, to lead you, to instruct you, sometimes even scold you, many times to stop us from doing things we shouldn't do, other times to motivate us to do things that we should do. This very special friend called the Holy Spirit is someone that we really do need to know, and we really do need to enjoy, because He's our constant companion. I can't speak for you, I can speak for me. I got married in 1974, and my wife Sarah's here today. She always sits on the front row. That way I can keep an eye on her, you know, make sure she's not doing anything that she shouldn't be doing. And she's close enough, you know, I can almost reach out and pinch her leg if she starts not paying attention or something like that. But Sarah always pays attention. I'm glad for that. But here's where I'm going with the married part. My wife and I have been married since 1974, and I do enjoy her company. And I enjoy spending time with her, and we talk about things, and it's a relationship, okay? In very much a similar way, your relationship with the Holy Spirit of God should be similar to a happy married relationship between a husband and a wife, where you talk about things, where you discuss things, where you'll understand what I mean when I say this, bounce things off each other, share your opinion, laugh, sometimes cry, naturally pray. The Holy Spirit of God is given to us as a very special companion, a very special person in our life who will never leave us or forsake us, and is there to be our constant companion and friend. And so, yes, you should enjoy Him. And you should talk to Him often. I think it's important for us, and I think most of you understand this already. You probably maybe don't spend enough time thinking about it, perhaps. I don't know, but we should talk with God throughout the day. You don't have to wait till the end of the day to talk to God, or you don't have to wait till the beginning of the day to talk to God. You can talk to God throughout the day about anything and everything. As you're about to do something, it's not wrong to ask Him, help me with this, Lord. Guide me and direct me. Give me the wisdom to know what to do here. Help me as I talk with this person or meet with this person. Help me to know what to do in this situation. You can talk with God about everything. And by the way, after that event is completed, don't forget to thank Him. Thank you, Lord. You helped me there. Thank you, Lord. You gave me the words to say. Thank you, Lord, you helped me through that situation. Thank you, Lord, for just being with me all the time. By the way, even when it doesn't work out the way you hoped it would, thank you, Lord, for helping me and being with me through every situation that I go through in life. There are many, many different word illustrations or types or illustrations that I can give you. And by the way, this two-part message just has 8 of them. I think there are others. But here's 8 pretty prominent ones. And we're going to start here with Luke chapter 24 and verse number 49. But first, I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to help me. All right? Heavenly Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit. As I was speaking with someone several days ago, about this topic, and this person was telling me how glad that they were that we were discussing this topic. And we were discussing the fact that because there are some folks who take certain things to one extreme or the other, and sometimes we might be afraid to talk about this topic or speak about this topic, and the both of us agreed that we should not let either extreme on either side of it steal away from us this very important person, the Holy Spirit of God. We should enjoy the Holy Spirit. We should talk about Him. We should talk to Him. It's not wrong to pray to Him. Every one of us should come to know Him as best as we possibly can and then enjoy the relationship that we have together. And so thank You that we are doing this, Lord, and thank You for helping me in the weeks that we've been in already and the weeks that are yet coming. Bless this day, please, as we talk about types and illustrations of the Holy Spirit. And we'll thank You for what You do in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen. By the way, you know those two men walking on the road to Emmaus that I mentioned before I started reading the scripture? The Spirit of God spoke to them. And you remember, I should have read it. I should have started earlier. I think originally I was going to, but anyway, I changed. But they were walking along the road, and Jesus was all of a sudden just appeared to them and talked with them. And then when He disappeared, He left them, the two men said one to the other, "Did not our hearts burn within us as He talked with us?" And of course, in that passage, again, I probably should have read it, but starting at verse 13 all the way to the end of the chapter, Jesus was expounding to them from the Old Testament all the way through the prophets, things concerning Himself. It's one of the things that the Spirit of God does. He talks to us about the Lord Jesus. And He talks to us about how wonderful it is to be saved. And He talks to us about the scriptures, and He shows us things. And isn't this exactly why we talk about this often, or I do, as the minister here? Isn't this exactly why we can read through the Bible time after time after time and constantly see things we hadn't seen before? Isn't it the Spirit of God who opens our understanding and helps us to see those things? It certainly is. He is such a great friend and such a great person to know and have active in our life. Well, I must get to my outline this morning, or this will become a three-part message. In verse 49 of Luke chapter 24, you notice again the verse says, "And behold," this is Jesus talking now, "I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Now, I think those of us who know our Bible a little bit understand that early in the book of Acts, in fact, in chapter 1 and chapter 2, the children of Israel that were part of His disciples, those individuals gathered together and prayed and sought the Lord, and all of a sudden the power of God came upon them in a timely fashion because of the day of Pentecost. And they began proclaiming the gospel message in the languages of hundreds and hundreds of people, thousands of people really, that were in Jerusalem to celebrate that feast, the Passover feast. So the Spirit of God came upon them, and they were able to speak languages that they hadn't previously learned on their own, but miraculously today they could speak in those languages the words of God, the gospel, so that people could get saved. And if you remember Acts chapter 2, there were 3,000 people that got saved on that day. What a great, wonderful day that was. Amen. So here the Bible says, Jesus talking to the disciples, "I want you to go back to Jerusalem, and I want you to wait and tarry and naturally pray until ye be endued with power from on high." Now, this word endued is a very interesting word, actually two words, endued with. Those two words in the Greek language actually mean this. You ready? Clothed upon. Clothed upon. I want you to go back to Jerusalem, and I want you to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with, or clothed upon, with power from on high. Very similar words that you and I would understand when you think about getting dressed. Anybody here this morning, before you came to church, have any thought at all of coming to church without getting clothes on? No, of course not. We wouldn't consider doing that. None of us. Amen. By the way, if you ever have a thought like that, just put it totally out of your mind, okay? We don't want that here. I often have said, we'll accept anybody, but we don't want folks to show up that way. Okay. I'm kind of making light of it. But you understand, every day, don't we? Every day when we start our day, one of the first things we do, if you take a shower or you clean yourself up and shave and all that kind of stuff, one of the very first things we do is we get dressed. We put clothes on. Naturally, we start with our undergarments and then, of course, the outer garments, and then we get our shoes and socks on and all that. And we do that always, every day, before we start our day. We wouldn't think about going through our day without doing that. That's a given. That's a natural. That's what everyone does. This is the idea, by the way. Just like I said, this is one of the first things we do as we begin our day. We wouldn't think of starting our day without doing that. Think about the language of what the Lord is saying. I want you to go back to Jerusalem. I want you to tarry in the city of Jerusalem. How long? Until ye be endued with, or clothed upon, with power from on high. I want to suggest to you this morning that the Lord would want us to make sure that every day when we start our day, that we don't begin our activities until first we are clothed upon with the Holy Spirit of God. That we are dressed. That we are endued with power from on high. That we are facing our day not just with physical clothes on, but we are starting our day also with the power of God resting upon us. We are endued with power from on high. Think about the Holy Spirit as a covering. Think about the Holy Spirit as a garment. Think about the Holy Spirit very much like the clothes that we have on this morning. Again, we wouldn't think about going somewhere without putting our clothes on first. But how many times do believers start their day without the clothing of the Holy Spirit upon them? One of the things that I remember, there's many things that I remember about, you know, starting out in Bible college and learning different things about, you know, being a servant of God and being in the ministry and so forth. But one of the things I remember hearing, and it rings in my head every now and then, Dr. Cederholm would say, no Bible, no breakfast. And he would repeat another statement, and I don't know if these were his or not, or he got them from somewhere else, but I remember him saying often, not only no Bible, no breakfast, but another statement I remember him saying is, I want to see the face of God before I see the face of man. What's he talking about? He's talking about spending time with God first. He's talking about not beginning our day among humans until first I spend some part of my early morning, part of my day, with God, so that I can be clothed upon with the Holy Spirit of God. Now I realize somebody might be saying, thinking themselves in their heart, well, Pastor, haven't you taught us that once you get saved, you have the Holy Spirit, He never leaves, He's always with you, He'll never forsake you and all that? Yeah, that's all true. But how about each and every day before we start our day, we seek from God a fresh anointing, a fresh empowerment, a fresh relationship? I'm going to go back to the married part of it again. One of the first things that Sarah and I do when we get up in the morning is we say I love you to each other. The day is not very old at all before we kiss each other. Oftentimes we'll hug each other. Our days normally start that way, don't they? Why do you do that? Well, because you care about that other person. Now, I realize you spent the whole night with them. They probably crowded you off the bed. They probably stole the covers overnight. I mean, who knows? Oftentimes, Sarah steals the covers. You should feel so sorry for me. Notice the denial over here in the front row. But that relationship, see, and you want to maintain that relationship. And we have a lot of, some of the things I won't even share with you, but silly little things that we do with each other just to let the other person know how much they mean to the other one. And that's because of the relationship that we have together. I wonder, and you don't have to answer out loud, but just think about this with me if you would. Did you have any conversation with God before you came to church today? Did you allow him to talk to you through his word? Did you say anything to him before you came? And when you start your day tomorrow, will you try to do that and begin your day in that way? Think about the Holy Spirit as a covering or a garment or the clothes upon us. You know, think about how your clothing protects you. Think about how your clothing shields you. Think about this. Think about how your clothing even keeps you warm and keeps you comfortable. And I don't know how many folks think like I do about things like this, but I would rather my clothing not be super tight. If I had to choose between super tight clothing and baggy clothing, I'll choose baggy clothing every time. I've thought about this a lot. Maybe some of the rest of you know exactly what I'm talking about. The older I get, the less I care about how it looks, the more I care about how the comfort is. You know, there's shoes out there, for instance, that might look great, but you wouldn't last a morning in them because they'd hurt your feet. Comfort is most important. Clothing is that way for me. I like it to be comfortable. I enjoy certain, I don't know about you guys, I'm getting way off track here, but I don't like the way they cut most suits nowadays. I really don't. This is not a lesson. How did I even get off on this? I'm not even sure. But I still like a classic cut. I like room. It doesn't have to be hugging tight on me. That's not me. Anyway, I'm going back to my outline, because I'm not getting any reaction here from anyone. The Holy Spirit is spoken of as clothing. That's my first thought this morning. The Holy Spirit is spoken of as clothing. The idea here, endued with, meaning clothed upon. He covers us. He protects us. He protects us by the way the Spirit of God does. He protects us from the influences of the devil. He protects us from the influences of those who work for the devil. He protects us from even ourselves. You know, the worst enemy that I have sometimes is me. The Holy Spirit can protect me from me. So again, clothed upon. He is spoken of as clothing. All right, I'll get off of that. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3 real quick. I just got four that I want to show you this morning, and then we'll save the other four for next Sunday. But Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. So in Luke 24:49, clothing. Matthew 3:16, notice this verse if you would. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. This is a record of the baptism of Jesus. John the Baptist baptized him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, the Bible says in verse 16, comes up out of the water, and the Spirit of God, according to verse 16, descended upon him like a dove. So here's another picture or type or illustration of the Holy Spirit of God. And a voice was heard in verse 17, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." But notice he's spoken of not just as clothing, he's also spoken of here as a dove. A dove generally is thought of as being very gentle. Very gentle. You know, the Spirit of God is very gentle, isn't he? When's the last time you remember the Spirit of God just really just thrashing you good? He doesn't do that. Generally, it's a still, small voice. Generally, it's not a like Elijah. We'll see that in our Sunday school hour in a couple of weeks. Generally, it's not a whirlwind or an earthquake or a loud shouting voice. Generally, the Spirit of God is a still, small voice. You know, this is the way, walk ye in it. It's something gentle. The Spirit of God is like that. He's not one to be loud and shouting and hollering and shaking the earth, so to speak. Gentleness. Generally, a dove is thought of as quiet. The quietness of the Holy Spirit of God, again, that still small voice. Generally, a dove is thought of as innocent. By the way, you remember Noah and the ark and the flood and the waters being assuaged and the earth beginning to dry? And Noah sends out, first of all, what? A raven. The dove is later. When the dove comes back and it's got an olive branch or an olive leaf, then he knows that things are growing and it's okay, it's safe to come off the ark and so forth. But the gentleness. Now, a lot of other birds aren't like that. Doves are generally thought of as gentle and quiet and innocent and pure. A lot of words that I'm thinking of here. Pleasant. If the Spirit of God is active in my life, should that influence be in my life? Gentleness, quietness, innocence, purity, pleasantness. Should all those things be true? I think they should. If the Spirit of God is really in control. And can I say to you this, and I think it's true, if the Spirit of God is in control, those things will be there. If those things are not there, generally that says the Spirit of God is not in control. Remember, I mentioned about protecting us from ourselves. The Spirit of God is spoken of as clothing. He's also spoken of as a dove. Let me show you another passage real quick. Let's go to Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 1. Here's the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Please notice here, the representation of the Holy Spirit of God is not clothing, it's not a dove, but rather it's fire. Fire. Well, the Spirit of God is like a dove, gentle, quiet, innocent, pure, pleasant, but also he's spoken of here as fire. Fire causes heat. I remember my dad talking about different things that have to do with heat, and he mentioned concerning prayer, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Effectual, fervent. Fervent meaning, according to my dad, with heat. Think about the Spirit of God being in my life. Think about the Spirit of God being in your life. Think about the fire causing heat. Should there be any heat about us? Let me ask you this. Should there be any heat about us when it comes to what we believe? Or should we just be, you know, wishy-washy and accepting anything and everything that comes down the pike? No, I think there should be some heat involved. I think there should be some fervency involved. I think even when we are talking about things that we believe, you shouldn't be afraid of being fervent and with heat, because the Spirit of God is involved in this. Fire causes heat. Would you agree with me also that fire is powerful? Do you ever watch fire when it gets going, let's say in a field, or you know, some of these forest fires that there are, or for that matter, even when a person's barn or house catches fire? You know, if they don't get on that quickly, it gets out of control, doesn't it? It does a lot of damage, of course. It's powerful. That's the thought. The fire, the cloven tongues as of fire, not that it was, you know, actual fire on their heads, but cloven tongues as of fire. Wasn't it powerful on the day of Pentecost? As these men preached the word of God and 3,000 people got saved, kind of shook things up, didn't it? Caused heat, caused power. Did you know another thing that happens about with fire is that fire purifies? One of the reasons why forest fires are good is because forest fires also purify the forest. Sometimes they're necessary, aren't they? Sometimes farmers will even burn the ditches in a controlled burn, or a field in a controlled burn. It purifies. And there are ways in which the Holy Spirit, of course, is used to purify your life and my life with the fire of getting rid of, you know, things that really aren't producing fruit, things that really don't belong there. And they're stealing away the spiritual nutrients that are needed to have growth and fruit produced in our life. Fire is needed. It causes heat. It is powerful. It purifies. And then fire also, by the way, destroys. Fire destroys. There are areas in your life and mine that need to be destroyed. And the fire of the Holy Spirit will do that, so long as we'll allow Him to do that and destroy those areas of our life that don't belong and aren't necessary and aren't needed. You know, there's a passage, we're not going to look at it, but there's a passage in John chapter 15 that is very special to me, and that is where it talks about God the Father being the husbandman and how He purges His branches. And purging those branches, He gets rid of the dead ones. He gets rid of the ones that aren't bearing any fruit. Recently around this area, we've had some strong winds. And right now, Sarah and I were talking about this yesterday. We need to go through the yard here and pick up sticks, because there's little branches that were broken off by the wind. And some of them are bigger than others, of course. But they need to be picked up because they were broken off by the wind. And that's God's way of purging the trees. Several years ago, some of you remember this, we had a company come out here, and a tree service company come out here and trim back our trees. And I really thought that after they did that, we wouldn't have all those branches. I was wrong. Anytime you have stiff winds, you know that's going to happen. Sometimes it even takes pieces of siding off. Tom, you and I saw that. Was that on Wednesday? By the way, I put them back on. Yeah. Thanks. But fire destroys, you know. And God uses the Spirit of God to prune things back in our life that aren't bearing any fruit. And that's what John chapter 15 is talking about. The Father, being the husbandman, purges, you know, His trees. And we are those trees, you know. And He takes away dead branches and areas that aren't producing. So the Spirit of God is spoken of as clothing in Luke chapter 24. He's spoken of as a dove in Matthew chapter 3. He's spoken of here as fire in Acts chapter 2. And it causes heat. It's powerful. It purifies. It can destroy. And then there's one more I'm going to show you today. We're almost out of time already. This one has three different passages. So bear with me, please. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. All three of these passages use the same word that I want to show you. And it's an important word. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. These are actually word pictures that describe to us a little bit something special about the Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 21. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest, there's the word, earnest, and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our heart. In these two verses, God shows us that the Spirit of God, who is given to us as an earnest, by the way, the word earnest, excuse me, is a word that means down payment. You know, a down payment means there's more to come. I like that. I'm not left with just the down payment. There's more coming to help me, to guide me, to instruct me, to protect me from myself. But what does the Holy Spirit do in these verses, verse 21 and 22? He establisheth us, he anoints us, and he seals us. That's all mentioned here in these two verses. Now, he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us as God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. All right, we're still in 2 Corinthians. Notice chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. We're going to see the same word, earnest. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 5. Now, he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us, here's the word, the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Notice again the word earnest. He's given us the earnest of the Spirit. Why? So that we could have confidence. That's verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith. He gives us faith. So he gives us confidence and he gives us faith through the earnest of the Spirit. One more. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's go there real quick. Almost out of time. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. We're going to see the same word. The word is earnest, a down payment. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. In all three of these passages, we saw the word earnest, which means down payment. And we saw already that because of that down payment of the Holy Spirit, he establisheth us, he anoints us, he seals us, he gives us confidence, he gives us faith. In this passage, he seals us. How long? What does it say? Nobody wants to say it. So let's go back and look at it. Verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, here's how long, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So how long are you sealed? Until the day of redemption. Until the day of redemption. So, let me ask you this. Are you forever saved or temporarily saved? Forever, right? If you're sealed until the day of redemption, you're forever saved. You can never lose it. It's a done deal. It's a done deal. I am sealed unto the day of redemption. And the Bible is showing us here eternal security. Eternal security. Generally, when a person doesn't possess in their heart eternal security, something's wrong. Because the Spirit of God living within you should help you to have that. Eternal security. helping you to remember you're sealed until the day of redemption, helping you to know that once saved, always saved. Why? Because you have the earnest of the Spirit. You have a down payment. There's more to come. Now, you have the Holy Spirit, but there's more to come. That's why I can honestly stand here and say it's going to get gooder and gooder. Yeah. This that we have right now is just the beginning. I have an idea that when we leave this earth, remember, to be absent, to be present in the body is to be absent from the Lord. But to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I have an idea when we're absent from the body and we're present with the Lord, just in earthly terms, it's going to blow our minds. We're going to be so surprised, so shocked, so overwhelmed by all that God has waiting for us when we get to glory. It's like oftentimes I've said it from this pulpit, the folks that are already there wouldn't come back even if they could. It's that wonderful. It's that wonderful. The Spirit of God is just the down payment. The Spirit of God is just the down payment. There's more to come. There's many more wonderful things to come. So, we have these types or illustrations in the Word of God, these word pictures. First of all, he's spoken of as clothing, Luke 24:49. Secondly, he's spoken of as a dove in Matthew 3:16. Thirdly, he's spoken of as fire, Acts 2:1-4. Fourthly, he's spoken of as earnest, 2 Corinthians 1:21-22, 2 Corinthians 5:5-7, Ephesians 1:13-14, earnest. How important it is for us to get to know the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Next Sunday, Lord willing, when we get together, I have four more that I want to show you that are word pictures or types or illustrations of the Spirit of God as spoken of in the Bible so that you and I can come to know Him that much better. What does God have planned for you? It is beyond your imagination. It is above anything you could ask or think. I just want to encourage you with this, and then I'm going to pray. Would you do your best to cooperate with Him every day? Do your best to cooperate with Him every day. And watch and see what He will do. Let's stand together. Heads bowed, eyes closed. No one's looking. The Holy Spirit of God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Holy Spirit of God who lives within us, who will never leave us, who promised that He would be there to help us, to guide us, to teach us, to instruct us, to hold us back sometimes, to motivate us and move us forward other times, to protect us from ourselves. I mean, there's so many things. I want to say thank you on behalf of all of us for the Holy Spirit of God, who is real. He is a real person, but He's also God, and He lives inside of us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Please help us to cooperate with Him each and every day, and then be amazed at what He will do in our life. Bless this invitation now. In Jesus' name, amen.